Chapter 1. Leaving Deliverance. The guardsman's nose explodes with blood as my fist crashes between his eyes. Next, I hit him with a left to the chin, knocking him backwards a step. He ducks out of the next punch, spitting blood from cracked lips. My nose is filled with the smell of old sweat and fresh blood. Perspiration from the blazing sun trickles down my face and throat. All around, I can hear chanting and cheering.
"Fragging kink is fragging neck,"
I recognise Jorrit's voice.
"Break the son of an orc apart,"
Franks yells. He makes a lunge at me, his face swathed in blood, his dusty uniform covered in red stains. I easily sidestep his bullish charge, bringing my knee up hard into his abdomen and feeling some ribs crack under the blow. He's doubled up now, his face a mask of pain. But I'm not going to stop there.
3 or 4 good solid rubs and it was starting to shine up a treat. She moved a hand further round. She could get the whole thing looking as good as new in no time, she thought. Poof! A huge spurt of dust coughed its way out of the end of the gravy boat, rattling the lid and making Grace jump so much in fright that she let go of the old jug and it fell on a box of musty magazines, resulting in even more dust poofing up in her face. Cough, cough, went Grace, which wasn't unexpected, as we just said. There had been quite a lot of dust. Cough, cough, went the gravy jug, which was unexpected, as up to this point, we were all pretty certain that it was just a jug, weren't we? What? Said Grace to herself, although she wasn't 100% sure. She might have been talking to the jug, which was ridiculous because it was a jug. But then it had just coughed. Before Grace had any further chance to question who or what or why she was talking to, the jug said,
"Hello?"
Hello, said Grace. Still not sure that this wasn't all some kind of trick or old toy or ghost or recording or nope. She really was struggling to get to grips with what was going on here. A struggle that wasn't really helped by her being terribly distracted by the sound of the jug making noises like, well, I'm afraid there's no other way of saying this, like someone really struggling to go for a ginormous poo. Any and all resemblance to actual persons, living or dead, or not even born yet, or actual events that feature in this award-winning sales bible is and are purely coincidental, completely made up, and definitely not real. Apart from the stuff where I've used real stories, those are totally true. I haven't even been asked to change the names most of the time, especially where I thought the people involved were shits. But people wouldn't buy the 2-hour sales bible unless it worked. Or, like so many other self-help books, if at least it had enough pithy, catchy, easy-to-swallow b**ts to give people a sense that it might work. So it's stuffed to the rafters with that hollow, flaccid sales babble which salespeople, managers and minions alike devour like a ravenous primate given free rein in a banana factory. But why should you listen to what I've got to say? Well, I've been there, done it, got the t-shirt. Resold the t-shirt for a tidy profit, got a future order for more t-shirts and negotiated with the people who give out the t-shirts in the first place for me to have exclusive supply rights within the UK and Europe, excluding Croatia. Don't ask.
Prologue. The chamber hummed and vibrated with energy that coursed along the thick cables snaking across the low ceiling. Somewhere in the distance could be heard the steady thump, thump, thump of heavy machinery in operation. Glow globes set at meter intervals around the metal walls of the square room illuminated the scene with a fitful jaundiced light. With a creak, the lock wheel on the door spanned slowly. Thick metal bars to either side of the portal ground through their rusted brackets. The door swung open and a figure stepped inside, swathed in a long black greatcoat, the tall collar obscuring his face. As he paced into the light, his thin face caught the yellow glow, giving him a sickly pallor. His dark eyes glanced back over his shoulder, before he took another step forward, easing the door closed.